Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Southpaws, episode 378. Delete Facebook.
Delete.
I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
And we are here over at House de Chacat and trying out a new audio setup today, so it should sound quite a bit better this time around, hopefully. It has been a week since we have last recorded. We are now here. We are full of Whataburger. And we've got a whole host of topics for you this week, furry and not. So, how are you, Fuzz? How are you, Shiva? I haven't seen you since last week.
Alive.
Well, that's good.
It's been, I don't know, kind of a sedate week, so that's not too bad.
I've had a pretty good week on my end, too. Just feeling pretty good for the first time in a while, so that's nice.
That's good. I'm feeling pretty chill, thanks to this hookah.
Yeah, that's one thing that you guys should notice, that there's not going to be a lot of hookah noise on... Because we did some testing, and it doesn't seem that the mic picks it up very much.
That's good.
Yep. So we can still enjoy our hookah without getting the hookah noise. Blah, 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 blah.
Ooh, it's a best of both worlds kind of situation. I like jackhats.
And you can slap a saddle on one. You're good to go. So yeah, delete your Facebook account. You should totally do that.
I can't.
Yeah. You have to be, you know, a normal person. You have to pretend to be a real being.
No, it's not that. It's that I admin two pages for my businesses.
Oh.
And you can't admin a business page without a personal Facebook.
That's awful.
And you can't necessarily see who the admin is on a Facebook page, because companies sometimes have multiple admins, but you do still need to have one.
Yeah.
So if I could maintain For Planet's Facebook page without a personal Facebook account, I would probably do it, because my sister sends me way more baby pictures than she ever posts to her Facebook. So I get, like, I got the direct hookup.
Yeah, you get the direct feed
on these pictures.
Unfiltered.
And I text my sister all the time. I'm really mostly on Facebook for, like, Tyrion's family. But, like, I could text his mom. His dad doesn't even use his Facebook account, really. So yeah, I could do without it if I had to.
The only reason that I have a Facebook account that's been used in the last while is that I had to admin my page.
Right, yeah.
But now that I don't have to do that anymore, there's no reason to do it. Last time I logged in, it was like, oh look, my mom is getting into fights with her family or them being a bunch of racists. Well, time to unfriend my aunt.
Your mom is fighting a good fight.
Yeah, and it was like this old, like, Ford from Grandma type image that's been around since like AOL. It was like, oh, look at these, you know, these inner city hoods purchasing steak and lobster with SNAP benefits. And it's like, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. And my mom pointed out that the person posting that has been on food stamps before and should fucking know better.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, you're poor as hell. You've been on food stamps. You're just being a racist.
God.
So if you don't have to maintain a Facebook account, though, all that information, if you've been paying any attention to Cambridge Analytica,
is fucking frightening.
Those guys have pulled some real evil shit and should also be on the chopping block, because they did a lot of data manipulation and a lot of targeted ad bullshit, and they were feeding stuff directly to the current regime's election stuff. As they've said, it's like, if you're not paying, you're the product.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were products.
And that they did it in an illegal way. They had access to and used a lot more information than they should have for people that didn't know their information was being used in that way. And they used it for political gain.
Yeah.
Which
so
they were not supposed to do.
That's super fucked up. I mean, Facebook, as I just shared a tweet with you guys in our shared chat, it's sad to see Facebook fall so far from its origins of being a website where we judge women by their hotness.
I guess they were also involved in the Brexit bullshit, too.
Yep.
Yeah. They did the same political manipulation they used in the 2016 election here. They test ran on the Brexit vote.
I swear. It's all just a destabilization. Getting Trump in power, meant that we were going to have a very rocky 4 years here in the U.S. And same thing with Brexit. Brexit caused all kinds of chaos over in the U.S., UK.
Yep. It's still fucking things up bad. That's just kind of been in the news all week, and it was a trending hashtag. And I was like, okay, well, I've seen that. I don't engage with Facebook, but I know a lot of people do. And it's just, it was a tweet exchange or a DM exchange with Zuckerberg early on being like, I have all these people's names and information. And the person he was replying to was like, why? I don't know. They trust me for some reason.
God.
You know, you can go back and watch The Social Network, and it's a horror movie nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched it, but I can only imagine. It'd probably be pretty frightening.
Knowing now what you know, I fucked that up. If only you knew then what you know now, there.
If only I knew now what I know now.
If only I knew how to word good.
Oh, Saverin.
It's not like you do any kind of like talking podcasts weekly or anything.
I know. The other thing, we've been dealing with Austin. The stuff in Austin.
Holy shit.
Austin bomber.
White Christian terrorist.
Which they refuse to label as terrorism. You know, I wonder if there could be any reason for that.
Like, even the Washington Post article was like, oh, well, he went to a Christian church. Well, guess what? That is far, far, far from being like a default. This guy should be good. When an actual, like the Independent put an article that this guy went to a survivalist Christian youth group where they talked about guns and explosives and shit. Survivalist Christians. Yeah, those are, quote, very fine people. This 23-year-old fuckhead, probably a 4chaner, he posted on Reddit with the name Austin Bomber.
Has that actually been confirmed? Because I told Tyrion that, and he's like, is that confirmed or is that something
I've seen
said?
It. Okay, I can't confirm that. I've seen it on Twitter. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he killed two, three people and potentially could have harmed a lot more only because he got sloppy. Mm-hmm. And like, apparently though, he'd been on the FBI's notice list. And when they finally did catch up with him, he fucking blew himself up.
Yeah.
Sarah said he taped like a 25-minute confession on his phone or something like that.
Yeah, and he made a lot of posts online, too, anti-abortion and anti-gay and that sex offender registries shouldn't exist.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so this guy was just...
That's not a fucking red alert right there, Jesus.
This guy was 23, and, you know, everybody always asks if there's anybody that's like a shade darker than a fucking paper bag. Where was he radicalized? Well, the answer for this cracker who blew himself up was he was radicalized here in Austin, Texas. This kid was homeschooled. This kid went to your standard evangelical bullshit church. Basically, this is a radicalized 4chaner.
He's like the most white bread of white bread Americans.
I mean, consider the social isolation that homeschoolers generally face and whatnot, but all this fucking puff piece nonsense and like, oh, he was such a quiet boy, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's this whitewashing bullshit.
And he still fucking blew up people.
Yeah, he murdered two African-American men, one of whom was like gonna go be going to college.
And he hurt 17. Two people with a fucking tripwire.
Yeah.
That could have been anybody. That could have been an old lady.
Well, one of the victims was a Hispanic elderly woman who got delivered to the wrong address. It's so super fucked up. And the thing is, the media barely covered this.
While it was happening, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, there's some shit going down in Austin. And we heard about it because it was in Texas. But like, for example, like James hadn't heard about it till Monday when already two bombings had occurred. Because it wasn't being reported in the spheres that he goes around in.
Right.
So it's like we were having domestic terrorism being perpetrated by a white dude going on in the capital of our state. And the
nobody
media
was paying fucking attention. Unless you are fucking local.
It's so, so wild. And, you know, it's really caused a lot of stress and distrust around in Austin and whatnot. But it's just yet another white fucker, a disenfranchised 4chan kid, going and doing something horrid. you know, Dylan Roof, same general age, the shooter in fucking Florida, this kid, all around the same general age, growing up on the wilds of the internet, going to places like 4chan and whatnot, and being radicalized. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's a real ass problem. There's been a couple of really good threads that got widely noticed by one of the furries made a post about it. I've had to look up the name on the guy while we're discussing this, but he made this big thread about, like, a lot of this is people that just don't want to care. They want to be in their own little nihilist bubble, and they have a lot of resentment against society because anytime it makes them want to reflect upon themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're in this bubble that only Muslims are terrorists. And that's why it penetrates right to all of our media that they don't label this shit terrorism or even domestic terrorism. They're just like, oh, he was a lone wolf. He was troubled. You know, he seemed like such a nice boy.
Breaking news. Frustrated white boy unsatisfied with life finds new outlet of expression by murdering people in a serial bombing spree. Yeah.
If you know that this had been a Muslim, even if they weren't like
part of Al-Qaeda or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if they had no affiliation, if they just decided to go out and start doing it, it would be fucking everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we'd hear a lot more about this kid's survivalist group. Its acronym is called RIOT, Righteous Invasion of Truth. Ugh. And it was mentioned in, like, The Independent, but it wasn't mentioned in, like, the Washington Post story. It's like, oh, he went, you know, they very casually gloss over this to make this be like, oh, it's such a mystery. Well, the dude who opened fire in Las Vegas, he was a disgruntled fucker. You know, you look at all these white supremacists doing murder all across the country, there's, you know, some pretty common threads. This wasn't a gun incident, but bombs.
Oh, some stupid motherfucker tried to make that analogy and says, well, where's the bomb control legislation?
Literally everywhere.
And somebody quote retweeted it like, you know, motherfucker, we already have that. Bombs are illegal. Like, you cannot, like, equate this like that. And that
bombs are super illegal.
Stupid motherfucker.
And, yeah, you know, Sean King retweeted, 24-year-old white man just blew himself up in a standoff with Austin police. He is a lone suspect in bombings that murdered a black boy and a black man and injured many others. Hateful, well-armed white men continue to be the most dangerous terroristic threat to this nation. And, yeah, it's realistic. Like, more people have died to white nationalist terrorism or just white terrorism in the country than any sort of Islamic terrorism in, like, the last year.
Like, of all the school shooters, the only one I could think of that I've heard of that is not white was the Asian fellow at Virginia Tech.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody else has been white as far as I've heard.
It was a Muslim guy that shot up the Pulse nightclub, but, like, he was a natural born American citizen. So, you know, the immigration ban and stuff wouldn't have really stopped him. He was born in, like, Queens or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's been one of those things that's been on the mind for us Texas folks, because my goodness.
Yeah.
And so, you know, want to know about white privilege? Refusing to call this fucker who murdered all those two people and hurt a bunch of others, not calling it terrorist, and doing the whole, oh, he's a good boy, he didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's his race getting free pass.
It's kind of like the violent version of the Brock kids rape case. Oh, he's a swimmer.
All right, yeah.
Well, actually, there was some tweets that I saw that was like, you know, when this kid blew himself up, he got sympathetic articles. But then after Trayvon Martin was murdered, there was articles like, oh, well, he'd been suspended in the past for weed.
Yeah, I saw a tweet about that was like, Trayvon Martin, he was no angel. The guy that was killed in Ferguson, he looked older. And Philandro Castile, the man that was shot in his car and was... he was a legally armed school worker, yeah. And he got shot, and they said it was, oh, well, he was smoking weed in front of children.
So therefore...
And then, like, you know, a couple weeks ago, they posted this article called Weed Moms, talking, you know, and of course it was a picture of a white woman on a bong talking about how, oh, being a mother and smoking weed and, like, makes you a better parent and stuff like that. And it was like, Philandro Castile was a parent, and he was smoking weed, and that didn't help him, you know? There's just a real difference between how our media writes about black people and how they write about white people. And it's pretty fucked up. And super noticeable, especially in our 24/7 news coverage era.
And they probably, you know, knew from the get-go that this guy was probably white, so they didn't, you know, get too excited about it because, oh, it's just a, you know, white kid somewhere doing something. Mm-hmm. It's not probably, you know, brown people being terrorism. And yeah, that's what it ended up being.
So moving on from that, though, I'm officially coming out as bisexual. Wait, no.
We knew that.
That wasn't it. You guys
that's
knew
not
that.
News, Fuzz.
Oh, right, right. Okay.
Hey, Fuzz, I'm bisexual.
Me too.
I'm a wolf on the internet. So
are a lot of people, Fuzz.
I know. We're like the most popular animal. It's like a lot of people think we're a starter species, but not for me. So
you just never stopped.
Yeah, I just never stopped. I am wolf till I die. This knot is never going away. I started my immigration process this morning. So most people know I'm a green card holder. I'm a legal permanent resident. I'm a British citizen. Came to the States when I was a child. And I've thought about getting citizenship many times over the years, but in the past, I mean, I wasn't really that worried about it. Like, the only differences are you get to vote and you might get called for jury duty. And I hadn't really given it much thought beyond that. I have not been out of the country since I got here over 30 years ago. So even like the passport thing wasn't like a big thing on my mind. When Trump got elected, that put the fear in a lot of immigrants. This is why when I renewed my green card, it took 11 months. Normally it takes 6. Because, I mean, it's a government underfunded government agency. It's slow anyway. But there was such a flood of immigrants doing stuff like renewing their green card and applying for naturalization after Trump got elected.
Went, oh, fuck.
Yeah, because like we kind of knew what was coming. You know, that's just gotten worse, and ICE crackdowns lately and stuff like that. And, you know, and then news started coming out of, well, they're going to take certain rights away from lawful permanent residents. So I felt worried, you know. And Tieran actually is like, look, I know you don't like where this country is going. I know you have issues with what America does, and I know that being Scottish is important to you, but please, for me, will you do this? And a very heartfelt and concerned plea from my husband, I said, okay, I will do this. I will get my American citizenship, because he didn't want to lose me, you know? And even if you know, I could be accidentally deported, like, you know, if you commit a felony, even accidentally, you know, I could get deported. What if I got in a car accident and somebody in the other car died? That's manslaughter. I didn't mean to kill somebody, but if I did, then, you know, that could be a deport. Who knows, you know, if I fucked up my taxes badly enough. There was a lot of what ifs there. And, you know, and some of them were like, yeah, maybe the odds of that actually happening were kind of low. But anyway, so I finally decided to do it. I did a Google search for immigration attorneys. I found one not far from me who had very high ratings on Google. And I set up a consultation. And that was this morning. I went to see him and I told him all about me, about, you know, my parents when we came over here, showed my green card, and it went really well. And he basically was like, yeah, it's a really good thing that you renewed your green card, because this is all I need. Like, he didn't even make copies of my birth certificate or my marriage license or any of that stuff. He's like, green card, you're good to go, right? So it's costing. So the reason I'm going through an attorney, like, the online form is fairly easy to fill out and fairly straightforward. But I was like, especially in this political climate and with something this important, I don't want to fuck this up. I want a professional to help me with this. So it's costing $1,250 for the lawyer and a $750 filing fee. That's what the U.S. government charges. So that's $2,000. And what that gets me is my lawyer filling out the paperwork for me. When he calls me to say, okay, the government has scheduled the date for your interview and test, I go into his office and he'll give me the interview and test exactly like the officer at the Immigration Service will, as sort of a trial run. And more than that, the day of my actual test and interview, he goes with me and he is sitting right there next to me. And his goal is to not say a word, that he'll have prepared me well enough and that no issues will come up because he did all the paperwork right. But it's good to know that he will be there, because so if they try to fuck with me, if any weird issue comes up, my attorney is right there and he can step in and help out. The good news is that he says that because I got my green card, because I've got, you know, I've got the job and the address, I haven't been moving around a lot and everything, my case is fairly straightforward and it should go through very well. It may or may not make my personal goal of being able to vote this year. I was really hoping to vote in the 2018 midterms because Texas has a senator up for re-election, and we're also electing a governor this year. And I really wanted to vote for Beto O'Rourke and Lupe Valdez. Mm-hmm. And that may or may not happen. The November election is right within the time where if everything goes smoothly and they're not too backed up, I should get all my paperwork and stuff, but we'll see. So that's where I'm at. And I'm going to talk about this and talk about the process because I'm like, not a lot of people in the U.S. go through this per capita, you know?
It's probably going to be interesting just to be like, yo, how long is this going to take exactly?
Yeah, about 7 months from beginning then. And I'm... Now, here's another privileged thing. This isn't necessarily because I'm white. This is mostly due with the fact that my mom married an American serviceman. So I've had my green card since I was 8. Getting the green card is the hard part. And then you can live for decades or for the rest of your life with just a green card. My mother never naturalized. She just had her green card till the day she died. And so I'm doing immigration on easy mode, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. And consider that even on easy mode, I'm dropping $2,000 to do it. So
that's a lot of money for
anyone that thinks immigration is easy or cheap or quick. I'm going to prove them wrong. And so, yeah, I think this will be interesting for me to talk about with you guys. And hopefully it'll be interesting for our listeners to kind of hear firsthand experience of an immigrant going through their citizenship process. So if all goes well, by the end of the year, I will be an American citizen and I will have changed my legal name. Because right now my legal last name is my mom's second husband, who is an asshole, and he's not present in my life at all. So my last name means nothing to me in like a personal sense, and I've actually come to really dislike it, especially in the last year or so. So I'm going to change my name to something more meaningful to me. So I will be Fazulius Earl Wolf. No, not really. I'm not changing my name to Fuzz Wolf. I'm keeping my first name, changing my last name to something not fur faggy, but relevant to me. But let me just say that I was really impressed with my lawyer. He seems like a really good guy. I felt really hit it off. He seems really confident in my case. Which gives me confidence that this is going to be a smooth process. So hey guys, wish me luck. I'm going to be an American. and on that note, I do want to say that now that I've officially started the process, even though I was reticent to do it initially, because I was like, God, America's so fucked up. We do all this fucked up shit. you know, there's this legacy of slavery and racism and all this empire building and nation building and like toppling rightfully elected people in other parts of the world and in installing people that we like and shit like that throughout America's history that I don't agree with. But you know what? Lately, my home country is not exactly a peach either. And they're doing some dumb shit that I don't agree with. And so I've decided, you know what? I enjoy living here. I have a husband. I have a home. I've built a business. I have friends. I'm intending to live here for the rest of my life. So why don't I try and make this a better place while I'm here in my own small way? And what I mean by that is participating in the democratic process. So I will get my citizenship and I will vote for the people who I believe are good for the country. And I will add my voice to all the other registered voters. And I will try to do my bit in that small way. And I'm kind of embracing my Americanness, because I mean, I've been here since I'm 8. I'm basically American. I am fully steeped in American culture. You know, I've lived almost my whole life here. What's that?
That won't wash out.
Yeah, no, that won't wash
that's
out.
That's stained.
So I'm like, you know, it's time for me to just sort of fully embrace that aspect of myself. And at the end of the year, I'll be like, okay, I'm going to say I'm an American now. And that doesn't have to mean all the shitty things that I used to think it meant. You know, I will be my kind of American and the kind of American that stands up for the things that I believe in. So I'm actually trying to like make this a thing. And so, yeah, that's how I'm looking at it now. I'm actually excited about this process now. And looking forward to seeing it done. And the other thing I want to do next year when the citizenship thing is done, I want to go ahead and get my passport. And I've told Tieran, get your passport. Because over the years, we've talked about maybe taking a cruise. And if we go down to like the Bahamas or Bermuda or something like that, like Bermuda's British territory, you know? Or if we want to go to Canada, like I could get out, but I can't get back in right now, you know? So I want to have more options. I want to be able to go on a cruise with Tieran. I want to be able to go to a Canadian furry con and see some of my Canadian friends up there and be like, hey, Tieran, let's go to a fucking con. Let's go on a cruise. You know, let's get passports and have that additional little layer of freedom there.
Hell, you could just go back and do a trip back to Scotland and take Tieran.
Yep.
Well, Tieran's not at all interested in Scotland. So he said, yeah, sure. If we ever go to Britain, you can go to Scotland and walk down memory lane and go to your little small middle of nowhere town. I'm going to stay in London while you do that.
Go see the hinges.
And, you know, Tieran will enjoy seeing the sights in London for an extra week while I go walk through the Highlands. And the thing is the nice thing about the U.S. and the U.K. is that dual citizenship is recognized. So even after I do this, it doesn't mean I'm not British anymore. It doesn't mean I'm not Scottish anymore. You know, I still hold that citizenship and always will. So I'm not giving anything up. I'm gaining something. And so that's my story. That's where I'm at now. So
as an aside, Fuzz,
yeah,
the whole, you know, voting and doing your part. And this is something that we need to be fucking beating the drum for, is getting people, yo, register to vote. And you better fucking vote in this next election. Because so Pennsylvania 18, the election between Connor Lamb and Rick Saccone, the difference in voting was 627 votes.
Yep.
Both of them had 113,000 votes, and Connor Lamb came out slightly ahead. And Saccone did concede, so they're not going to be like, recount voter fraud, they bust in illegal Mexicans from Canada. You know, there are people on Facebook saying that, but eventually Saccone did concede, so that's done. But 627 votes is the difference between having this Connor Lamb dude and Rick Saccone, who is like, I'm more Trump than Trump.
Yeah.
So get out there and vote in your state, your local, your county, everything.
Yeah.
Hell, even your fucking school boards matter.
Oh, absolutely.
If definitely. Not more so in some ways.
Especially here in Texas. They matter more here in Texas than in a lot of other places. Because a lot of, because we're such a large market, Texas has a big say in what goes into the textbooks.
Yep.
So in a big way, Texas controls what ends up going into the educational system, what people are taught. And if you have a bunch of fuckwits on your school board, that could lead to some bad information. Like they want, like a few years ago, that was that big thing where they wanted to put creationism right alongside evolution into science textbooks. And luckily that ended up not going through. But I mean, that comes down to like, that was like a 3-2 vote on whatever council was elected to handle that.
Then here of course, in Texas, there's the weird softening of slavery.
Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they were indentured servants.
They came over here from Africa for opportunity. No, we're...
They came here to work the jobs Americans wouldn't.
Yeah, no, that shit's not going to fly. So, yeah, to echo what Saverin said, don't just go into the booth and be like, okay, I'm going to vote for senator, and if it's in 2020, I'm going to vote for president, and then leave the rest of it blank. No, fuck that. Whoever is running in your local area, you know, look up who's running for Congress. If you have a senator that's running, who's running on your city council, who's running in your school district, all of that stuff. There are also, depending on your state, constitutional amendments, bond elections, lots of different initiatives that are put out to the public to be voted on. Read up on that stuff. If it's important to you, and take a stand, you know, just read up on the issues. There's a lot of really good voting websites out there that try to lay it out in plain English in a nonpartisan way. You know, what is this going to do? What is that going to do? And, you know, for God's sakes, if you're queer at all, don't vote against your own self-interest. The Republicans are bad for you. And the way it is, right, or has been, is the Republicans are actively trying to kill you, and the Democrats are sort of ambivalent to you and want your vote. But that's gonna start.
At least they're not trying to kill you.
At least they're not trying to kill you. So the Dems are definitely a better option. But that's starting to change because there is a big push in the Democratic Party right now to move further to the left. To be like, no, it's not enough to just say we're okay with the status quo. Don't make things worse. You know, Saverin mentioned earlier that he had read the Democratic Party's platform for the Texas State Democratic Party.
And it had some good stuff in it, man.
Yeah.
Like
go ahead and let me... You had like 4 or 5 things you mentioned.
I think I mentioned it last time, but I'm mentioning it again because it was really good to see in the platform. Automatic voter registration, universal health care, student loan forgiveness or refinancing, more funding for schools... You know, raising property, making sure that companies pay their goddamn property tax, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, they're like, look, we're the minority party, but people are really fucking pissed. So let's just aim for the moon because there's no reason not to at this point.
Right.
I mean, hell, if I kind of wish they would have had like, legalize weed on the state platform, but give it time. Right.
Yeah.
Once they discover, hey, you can get a lot of tax money out of this, they'll. Once they decide they like money more than they hate brown people, they'll figure out about legalizing weed.
Mm-hmm.
Because look into the history of the criminalization of marijuana and find out just how deeply racist that was.
Right.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. So basically the state platform, I mean, I went and voted in the state Dem primary. And
there's so did I.
People...
Good job, Americans.
Yeah.
Totally.
And it was props. And it was neat because the polling location that I went to was this little Baptist church in between Marsh and Midway on Keller Springs. Actually had two of the local state rep people there campaigning and talking to people that they were voting. They're going for the same seat, but it was really cool to see that both the people on the ballot were actually there and talking to people. And I'm like, well, you're like state 114 or whatever. And I talked to both of them and got some questions answered. But it was just cool to actually see people out there on the ground doing their shit.
Mm-hmm.
That was like around the corner from here. The apparently Carrollton has a Democratic Party club thing, and they were out in there in the parking lot, and went up to them, and they kind of went over the sheet, went over who's for what, who's kind of the strong leads, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of did a quick overview of, okay, these are the candidates. This is, you know, this is this person. This is that person. This is kind of where things are trending. This is what this person's for. So it was really nice to kind of get a distillation of what's what. So it was just kind of nice.
So, yeah, you know, if you're already an American, make sure that you vote. And for those wannabe Americans like me, well, let's hope my shit is together in time to vote. If not, it's not the end of the world. I will definitely vote in the 2020 election instead. And so the reason I wanted to vote this year is one of our two senators, Ted Cruz, is up for re-election this year. So I was hoping to vote in the senatorial election.
And get him the fuck out.
If I can't, then our other senator, John Cornyn, is up for re-election in 2020.
They're both pieces of shit.
I will definitely be able to vote against him.
I think Panther is actually blocked by Cornyn on Twitter.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. Because he'd reply to him from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he got blocked. That's pretty hilarious. So, speaking of voting, we're going to shift this into something a little more furry. Ursa Major and Coital Words voting is going on.
That is right, yes.
So, the Ursa Majors and Coital Words are both fan-run, fan-given best of awards, recognition awards.
Mm-hmm.
Not best of, just recognition awards for various media and furry things that are produced throughout the year.
It actually is best of categories, sort of like the Oscars or the Hugos. The Coyotes are furry literature specific. They were put together by the Furry Writers Guild, and they're adminned by one of our editors, Mary E. Loud. So if you're a member of the Furry Writers Guild, you can vote on the Coyote Awards, and anyone can vote in the Ursa Major Awards. And the Ursa Majors are a lot broader. They have categories for published illustration, they have film, they have game, they have website, they also have all the literary categories too. I've been retweeting some stuff on the For Planet Twitter account, so you can see, and I've got on there somewhere a post that shows like all of the For Planet stuff that got nominated. You know, if you enjoy the stuff that we do and look at, you know, just look at the list. And if you consume the furry media of us or any of the publishers in the fandom, take a look at it, and when, if you really enjoyed it, vote for it.
When does Ursa voting wrap up?
I don't know.
I am looking. Voting it ends at the end of March, so you've got about a week or a little more than a week.
And I remember their web address is ursamajorawards.org.
Yep.
I don't remember what the Coyote Awards URL is. Savern, you can probably put these URLs in the show notes. But, I mean, you can also Google Coyote Awards, and I'm sure it'll come up.
Coyotl awards.org. Yeah, and, like, the Ursa Majors has things like best motion picture, and it's like Ferdinand, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, MLP the Movie, Rock Dog, or War for the Planet of the Apes. So, I mean, sometimes some of the nominations don't make a ton of sense, but they do feature anthropomorphic creatures.
They make more sense than some of the stuff they had either last year or the year before, where they had one that was like barely anthropomorphic at all.
Mm-hmm.
At least in Planet of the Apes, you're talking about an anthropomorphic ape. It's a bit of a stretch sometimes to fill five spots.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, of course, like for the best game includes Cuphead, Night in the Woods, Sonic Mania, Star Fox 2, and Yooka-Laylee. I do have to say it is really nice, speaking of Night in the Woods.
Yes. That
they won two big awards at GDC this week.
So what is GDC?
It's Game Developers Conference. It's an industry conference where basically it's a massive networking event, and they give yearly awards. They do panels and roundtable discussions. There was a somewhat poorly ran, by accounts, talking about a roundtable on unionization in the gaming industry, which a lot of people kind of agitating for it, but the moderator for it was anti-union.
Well, that's not good.
No. So basically,
preferably your moderator would be somewhat neutral and let the panelists fight it out.
Yeah, you know? No, apparently it was a bit of a shit show.
Oh, that's too bad.
But there is now actually a group agitating for unionization within the gaming sphere. So that's cool.
Which, frankly, I think they need from talking to a couple of developers I've known and just about the hellish dev cycle of games. That's like, it shouldn't be like that. I mean, I know there are business needs to get your new game out by X dates and stuff like that, especially in a series, but Jesus, it sounds brutal as all hell.
And I don't think it's even just game developing that's like, I think tech in general could use some
collective bargaining.
Well, and it's not so much the big boys. It's not even like outside of like game development, because there's dev cycles just like there is in game development for everything. But when you break it down and you get down to like the lower level, where you've got basically the whole contracting concept has gone off the rails. The whole thing where people will get contracted and their life is wicked shifty. You never know when the contract's going to get cut.
They fire everybody.
They'll basically string people along on little to no benefits for, you know, usually about 18 months. And then they have to furlough you for, I think it's 6 months.
That's how it was for Panther.
Yeah. So,
not the furlough part, but he was a contractor at his current job for like 2 years until they made him full time.
Yeah. So they do this whole contracting shit where it's basically, you're kind of on the cutting room floor, you know, on a drop of a hat for whatever reason. And until you leave contracting status, you're treated very differently, because people at the job who are full-time employees never know when these people are going to just get dropped. So, I mean, when you get into like direct hire and later on, yeah, you can make really good money and everything else. But until you get there, there's so much contracting and temp work in like lower levels of tech that it's kind of insane. I mean, you'll have like when I was working for the software company before my current one, I was a temp. Well, I was a contractor, and there's just this lack of respect, lack of reliability on both sides of the coin. So,
yeah,
you know, that's got to stop. And every time they change, you know, you can't do that, they find loopholes to keep doing it. Mm. You know, you've got big companies. I mean, Microsoft got in trouble how many years ago for basically keeping people temp for years? And that's where, okay, you can't just string people along on temp work for, you know, years and years and years. You have to, like, actually either full hire them or they're not actually temps. So they changed the rules, and that's where the whole furloughing thing came out. But contractors, they don't get PTO. They don't get sick time. They barely, if you're lucky, get insurance. Never mind 401k or anything else. So,
and apart from the monetary and the benefits and stuff like that, it's also a morale issue.
Oh, it's a big morale thing.
We all have a mutual friend who's worked for IBM for a long time. And for the vast majority of his career there, he was a contractor. And it came down to stuff like, oh, why aren't you going to the company Christmas party? Oh, because you're not invited, because you're not a direct hire. And he's a direct hire now, but he worked there, got to be like 5-6 years before he got made permanent, I think, something like that.
And like when the software company I work for had company events, we could not go because even if they wanted to, because they legally can't. If they start treating us like employees, we can start claiming that we're employees. Mm. So they couldn't do anything nice for us. They couldn't do this. They couldn't do that. Anything like that had to come from the contracting company. Or if you don't have a contracting company, then you're just a solo self, whatever, contractor. You know, they legally can't. Because anytime you get any kind of similar benefits than an employee does, then that opens a huge legal loophole.
You know, that shit should only be allowed for 90 days, because that's the trial period. even for direct hires at a lot of major companies, it's like within the first 90 days, if you don't pan out, they can let you go. If they decide after 90 days that they're going to keep you, they should just hire you at that point.
So moving on.
My one cool question mark thing for the week was a news outlet tweeted and part of an interview with Warren Buffett, the billionaire investor, founder of Berkshire Hathaway, that doubling your net worth won't necessarily make you happy. And a number of people, including myself, had something to say about that. And I tweeted something like, I'll take you up on that bet at Warren Buffett, you know. And myself and two other furries were, there were six posts that they compiled into a Twitter moment. And three of them were furries, including me. So, like, eventually I just, like, muted my notifications and ignored my phone because it blew the fuck up. Like, let me see.
Look that up, because
I'm going to look up what it eventually ended up being.
Because you don't tweet a lot, but you got a lot of...
And I don't really, like... jump into, quote, mainstream Twitter very much. Okay, so I said, it's a risk I'm willing to take, Warren Buffett. Will you help prove me wrong? 3,212 likes.
Damn.
609 retweets. And most people were like, I'll give it a go. Yeah, totally. Sign me up for that. And I only had a couple of people say something like, it doesn't matter what you think, you're a furry.
Which, I'm a furry with my own business.
Somebody called me a fuzzy mooch. And somebody just said, shut up, furry. And nope. I'm like,
I will never shut up.
I'm amused. That is just so 2002. Be like, just hating on furries on the internet. It's like such a lowest common denominator.
Been there, done that. Have
yeah.
A t-shirt.
Look, we got Mark Hamill to do an uwu. He's going to be a furry by the end of the year.
What? What?
Didn't you see that?
No.
So someone on Twitter was like, hey, Mark Hamill, can I get an uwu? And he was like, I don't know. I need to know what that is. What does that mean? And then a bunch of tweets later, he's like, okay, here you go. Uwu. And it was a picture of the McDonald's golden arches where they like flipped it upside down, so it was they for, did U W U, and it blew up. But it's just like Mark Hamill being
Mark
treasure.
Hamill.
He's a goddamn treasure.
He is. Yeah.
I mean, he was Luke Skywalker, but he's still the Joker to me.
He's a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually seems to be a decent guy.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like Mark Hamill, you better not have any fucking skeletons in your closet. I swear to God.
Mm-hmm.
Only Alec Guinness's. He has Alec Guinness's skeleton in his closet. It still talks to him sometimes.
Yeah. Well, you know, he has to trust the Force and ask the skull of Sir Alec Guinness. It's his prop for whenever he does stage plays. His stage production of Hamlet, Mark Hamill, and the skull of Sir Alec Guinness.
Obi-Wan, I knew him well. That's not the line, Mr. Hamill.
It is now.
Oh, I mentioned that the stock market tumbled 700 points today because our illustrious president decided to start a trade war with China.
Yeah.
So, yay.
I forget. What did he do to trigger that?
He basically said that he's going to come down hard on the trade imbalance with China and look into maybe, like, I guess, not sanctions, tariffs, doing some tariffs on Chinese imports. And like, the thing is, you know, China buys shit from us too. Like, sure, we buy a lot of inexpensive Chinese made things, but apparently we sell a fuck ton of soybeans to China, among other agricultural crops. So the agricultural sector is not happy about this. And it's really hitting tech companies hard because companies like Apple, that's where like a lot of their shit is made.
Yeah. I mean, hell, even Samsung has manufacturing in China. And they're Korean. And they hate China.
So yeah, there was.
I'm like, okay, what is this a smoke screen for? Because what else is going on?
Because
every time there's a PR shit like this, there's something else going on.
Okay, well, here's the other thing that happened today. Trump's lead attorney advising him on the case about the Russian interference resigned.
Ooh.
He was like, you know what? Actually, fuck you, Mr. President.
Because, like, he says, he's like, I still love the president, but I can't continue to work with him on this. And part of the reason was he was advising him to do stuff like shut the fuck up.
And he wouldn't.
Stop tweeting. Stop attacking Mueller and the FBI.
Stop fucking firing people by tweets.
Right, yeah.
On the toilet.
And Trump did all of that. So this guy was like, you know what? As your attorney, I advise you to shut the fuck up. And he didn't. So he's like, as your attorney, I can't have you as my client on this case. So that happened. And so, yeah, if you're looking for like a piece of news that he might be trying to cover up, yeah, I guess that would qualify. But like the news article I was looking at was like stock drops 500. It had a slash to it. Stock drops and then 600 with a slash to it. And then 700. That was the last update I saw. I don't know if maybe it rebounded a little bit. It usually does. But, you know, the stock market is driven by emotion. It's driven by how secure and safe investors feel. So when the president is like, hey, I have this great idea to do stuff that could totally start a trade war and destabilize the world marketplace, makes investors very nervous. And then they start selling, and then the fucking stock market drops. And that is exactly what happened today.
As of 9:04 p.m. here on Thursday, March 22nd, the Dow Jones ended down 724 points, the NASDAQ down 178, the S&P 500 down 68, and then Apple and Google also lost. Everybody lost today. The New York Stock Exchange went down 300. Starbucks went down. Nike went down.
I know Facebook went down
EA
a lot.
Went down. Hasbro went down.
And Facebook is partially down because of this trade thing, but it's also partially down because of the whole thing with the what's the name of the company? It's gone out of my
head. Cambridge Analytica that we talked about at the start of the show.
Right. Yeah. So the Facebook stock is also down because of that. And I imagine that Hasbro and Mattel stock are down because Toys R Us announced their closing, nationwide last week.
Yep.
And they account for 20% of the retail toy market.
And hey, you know where all their toys are fucking made?
China.
In China.
Yeah. So Hasbro and Mattel, I imagine, being the two largest toy companies, they're not having a good time right now. And you know, and the other thing I was going to note that in sad news, I mean, this man was 94 years old, but the founder of Toys R Us died today, 1 week after the company liquidation was announced.
Wow.
So, I mean, rest in peace, but it's really kind of heartbreaking.
It is.
You know, he hadn't been, I mean, he was 94, so he actually retired from the company back in like 1991, 97.
Yeah, hearing the company you found is just liquidating has got to be heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah. So that's really sad news. And KB Toys went under years ago. Toys R Us is closing. And I guess we probably maybe talked about this on a prior show, but it's really sort of sad that, like, now I know kids today can go to Target, Walmart, and go down that aisle, and it has a toy section and stuff
like
that.
It's not the same.
Nowhere near as good, though.
No child is going to have the experiences that I remember as a kid walking into a fucking warehouse-sized building that is full of toys.
Do you remember the Toys R Us little flyers that used to come out, especially around Christmas time?
Yeah, and you'd go in and circle all the things that you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's like a major, that for me is like something I remember doing in childhood.
Well, it was always fun, even when I worked at Toys R Us, to kind of look at, like, what cool shit was being highlighted, and what, and it also let us know what was going to be in high demand.
Yeah.
But it was just always like neat to see how things really didn't change all that much, though kids these days have cooler toys than I did. Action figures have gotten way cooler.
Yeah, they've like gotten, they don't look like so awful and like misshapen.
There's still Star Wars toys. They're just much better made Star Wars than the little Luke Skywalker I had when I was a child.
Has better defined, lightsaber more that slides out of his arm.
Did you have that too?
Oh, yeah. My dad had a bunch of those when I was a kid.
Yeah.
My dad was a big Star Wars fan and a big Indiana Jones fan, so I didn't have much choice when it came to being a big nerd about that.
That's really kind of cool. Like, I didn't grow up really in a nerdy family. I mean, my mom is a big reader, but that was it. So, like, when it came to, like, toys like that, I mean, they were for me. But, you know, if your dad was buying them because he thought they were cool and that kind of extended down to you, that's
Oh, yeah. He had really fun. The figures. He had the vehicles. He had an Ewok village.
You know what really changed kind of the quality of action figures? It's when Todd McFarlane started to make those really good action figures of like Spawn and everything. Yeah. They were highly detailed. They were articulated. There was, you know, these were not as ugly as. And then from that point on, a lot of the toys upped their game because they saw, hey, people want things that don't look like half melted plastic and like the eyes actually line up to where the divots are in their heads.
So the first line of figures that I remember collecting that were like a step above what had come before were the Star Trek figures made by Playmates. Where, like, they probably haven't...
Are they still around Playmates, or did they go under?
I'm not sure. Those figures probably haven't aged well now. If I saw them today, I might not be as impressed as I was when I was collecting them in the 90s. But I remember being really impressed at a time with, like, how the likeness was and everything. Because, you know, I had... Like I said, I had the Star Wars figures, and it's like, it's Luke Skywalker in that Luke Skywalker is white with blonde hair and holding a lightsaber, but I'm not going to pretend that the face remotely resembled Mark Hamill.
But later those, toys, it actually started to look like the people.
Yeah, those Star Trek figures in particular really looked like the actors.
So Playmates is still around.
Okay,
they have very few licenses that they work with, but... The toys that I've seen them put out are actually all right. Okay. Currently, the three that they've got are Voltron, the new Voltron, Ben 10, and a new series is coming out called Mysticons, which is a girls' superhero magical girl show. Kate Leth's writing on it. That's the reason I know about what it is. And I follow her on Twitter. So they're still around. And they also apparently are working on some Ninja Turtles, the new Ninja Turtle stuff. They're rebooting it again.
Maybe you guys, it won't suck this time.
Did you guys see that tweet I retweeted today? It was four images, and it's Sally Jesse Raphael. She's wearing a red blouse. And then they did Sally Jesse Leonardo, Sally Jesse Michelangelo. And I retweeted it. And Tieran quote retweeted it. He's like, you know, I'd probably watch this show. I think that was all the things that I threw into the chat as potential. Okay. So the interesting anecdote, nerdy typography related moment here. Also one of the things that's interesting to me is like finding out the origin of common phrases. So, you've all heard the term out of sorts.
Like he's all out of sorts, meaning he's kind of confused. Things aren't right.
Disgruntled.
Disoriented too. Yeah.
So in the context of that phrase, sorts means a grouping of like things. So this phrase actually originates from the typography industry. So back in the day, before digital type and linotype and everything like that, when you had to set type manually one letter at a time by hand, and you're working your way through a page in a book or an article or whatever, and you realize that you've run out of a letter, you don't have any E's left, you're out of sorts.
Ah, I always wondered what happens if they were typesetting and they ran out of... you know, a letter.
They'd be out of sorts. And well, you can see examples of that today. Like when you pass a restaurant or a store that has one of those signs up where the letter changers and they run out of M's. So they replace it with an upside down W or something like that.
Or interesting spelling.
Yeah, that's the modern day equivalent of that. So, you know, your typesetter would be disgruntled and upset. And so nowadays, out of sorts just basically means disgruntled and upset. But that is the original origin of that phrase. The more you know.
I guess my cool thing sort of is like, I have been kind of trying to cut down on Twitter because Twitter is brain poison. And I've been doing that because, like, if you're up late at night and you're insomnia and you're browsing Twitter and you're just looking like, goddamn, waiting for that next tweet to come in and see something. Hopefully it's something cool. Nope, it's just more horror. That's kind of what doing Twitch streaming has been doing for me. Just like, yo, it gives me something to do. I'm enjoying doing it. And I'm actually most of the way through with Legend of Zelda now. Though for the last couple sessions, I've been like, all right, time to go visit the birds. And then the last two sessions, which are about 6.5-7 hours of gameplay, I have completely failed to actually go and do the objective to go visit the birds. Like, I've been to the birds, I've gotten the armor from the birds, but then I'm like, oh shit, I have to go get stuff to upgrade my armor so that I don't get my ass kicked the moment a monster touches me. And that was
you fapped to the rule 34 of the birds.
Yep. Cass and his buddies, except for Rivali, he's an asshole. Fuck him. So the last...
Ooh, is that a hot take? Are we going to get emails on that?
No.
Okay.
He's like, there's a... one of the things is you're going around recovering Link's memories because he was in, like, a magical coma for 100 years. So his brain got all fucked and he doesn't know a lot about who he was. But he has, like, this memories stored on his iPad. And he goes and he's like, oh shit, I remember.
He's backed up into the cloud?
Yeah. So basically Link wakes up and the first thing you get in the game is basically a iPad. But yeah, Rivali is this feathered Rito and he's voiced by a guy that makes him sound like a real big douchebag. But in any event, it has been very fun and rewarding, and just the stuff that you can do in the game continues to be astounding. I got into a puzzle place that two things where I kind of broke the puzzles.
How?
Actually, three ways. Not broke them, but did them in an unexpected way. So the first one is like, okay, you've got to use these floating platforms and your glider and do this nonsense. Oh, and you've got to use this platform and guide a bomb on balloons through this little maze of spikes and what you're supposed to do. Of course, me, I walked in, looked right, first thing I see explodable bricks, whip out a bomb arrow, blow that all up, and I'm like, oh, okay. Go over, get right to the end, and I'm like, is this it? And no, it turns out that I just kind of broke the puzzle by just whipping out an explosive of my own instead of doing their puzzly nonsense. It's like, oh, that's cool. Then the second time, it was like, okay, you had to use these two electrical generator orbs on these metal platforms to complete a circuit to open a door. Okay, cool. I open the door, get the chest, and then opens the path to the next room. And it's like, okay, oh, you know, it's like, there's one electrical orb, and then there's all this other bullshit that you have to do to make the other one. I turned around, walked into the front room, grabbed one of the sparky electrical orbs off the platform that has already been used, still works, walked into the next room, put it exactly on the pedestal, bing, and then the third one, it was another one of those electrical circuit puzzles. I had some metal weaponry, and it's like, oh, I have to complete a circuit, drop metal, bridging the gap. That just solved this puzzle in a lot less time and a lot less steps. It's just like, I'll use my own metal things. It's so good. It's so fun. And I will probably beat the game in, like, maybe before HavenCon. Probably not, though. We'll see.
Speaking of which, we might do some stuff at HavenCon, but we're not planning a show next week just
we
because
talk
of...
talk about HavenCon.
It's next week.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Okay, so if you're going to HavenCon, come shop at my table in the dealer's room, because I will be there selling stuff. And it is the last HavenCon ever, unfortunately. So if you haven't decided to go yet, then please do. go to HavenCon and support people, especially I'm putting you on the spot, Austin area furs. You should come to HavenCon.
There are things relevant to your geeky interests.
Yes. You know, they have fursuit events, and I don't know if they have fursuit events, but they have fursuits there. I'm not actually sure what's on the schedule this year.
It did get posted.
Yeah. They have events, they have guests, they have a dealer's room, they have furry books and comics in the dealer's room. I don't know how I could possibly know that. But all three of us are going to go down there this year, which is really cool. We'll all get to go to a con, and I mean, I was going to say, and not be working it, but we'll be in the dealer's room. But, you know, Shiva gets to go to a con that she doesn't have to work at, which is nice. Because Shiva probably needs that now and then.
Shiva gets bored at cons, so.
Aww.
Shiva has to figure out a thing to do, which I'm sure she can.
Go hang out for a planet, be useless.
Yeah, I mean, you're welcome to come by. I mean, if people see somebody at your booth, it helps traffic also. So, you know, you could be there perusing the wares, and then when people come up to shop, you just kind of step aside and like, I'm just browsing. And then
it's like, have you tried this? Have you tried this?
Then I unleash Zia on
in all of his sweater vest glory.
And yes, on unsuspecting potential customers. And I vacuum the money out of their wallets, except I can't because it's all credit and debit. So I have to give them back. I'm hoping to move some books, but probably not too many because we just placed a big stock order. But the next week after that is Furry Weekend Atlanta. And there is also going to be a For Planet booth at Furry Weekend Atlanta, and Savrin and Tieran will be running the show there. So yep, that's
going
cool.
To be full of books, then hopefully be less full of books as we head back.
Yes, for the sake of the suspension on Tieran's car. I'm looking forward to going, and I'm looking forward to maybe like getting a few people together to hang out. We could record a show in our room one night or something if we wanted to. It would be nice to grab a couple of folks down there that maybe haven't been on the show in a while, you know, do some little on the spot interviews or something like that. No promises. It'd be kind of cool to do some extra stuff while we're down there, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to HavenCon. Looking forward to you guys being down there. Savard and I will be driving down together in my book-heavy car. So, good times. Also, Buck is going this year. He's another of our For Planet crew. He'll be sharing a room with us, and I can't remember, Shiva, if it was you or him that had said you'd never been before, but you wanted to go this year because it was last year, and you kept kind of thinking, well, next year I'll go, and yep. now's the time to do it.
I know Sarah has got his, we're both really big foodies, so I know that he's got kind of like, go find some neat places to get dinner and lunch and such.
He has an Austin bucket list for the weekend.
I don't think it's filled out yet, but I know he's hunting for interesting places to go and eat while we're there, because it's Austin and they're weird.
Yep, and I bet they have a lot of odd little indie restaurants and stuff that are not statewide that we don't have up here. But that'll be fun for you guys to check out.
So
good times.
Update. From via ZAM, which is, I guess, is a game industry website. Exclusive. Responding to recent criticism, IDGA head Jen McLean, the moderator who was anti-union at the roundtable at GDC, clarifies the organization would, quote, absolutely support game workers' efforts to unionize. So, yeah, we'll see. It's like, it's good to have them be scared. And also, the pic that they used was from Night in the Woods when they're at the library. And B's like, look, jobs! The minor mural.
Yeah.
So, that's cool. That's an update on the show while we're recording it. That's always nice.
Live update, folks. Live update.
Yes.
Let's see. What else? Beyond that, we do have some emails this week. So
there's one that we could skip over right away because I just answered it. We had a Tumblr asking me if our planet was going to be at FWA. And so, as I just said, yes, we will be.
Yay.
So, woohoo.
And after that is what, Anthrocon for you guys?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the next
Anthrocon is coming.
There's always that little gap between FWA and Anthrocon, which I actually very much appreciate because it's, you know, April 15th is tax deadline. So not rushing around cons for a little while there actually gives me time to like sit down and do all the numbers. And that's another thing I wanted to bitch about earlier when we were talking about taxes, is that there's been these articles floating around lately that Amazon's not paying any taxes. And I'm just like, now I know, like, every year I've owned for Planet, I've owed taxes, except for the first year, because you always take like a big loss when you're first starting out a business. But I've always owed taxes. I've always paid taxes. And I'm like, this tiny little business in a niche industry. Amazon has a major impact in the book industry. And it really kind of pisses me off. The small publishers like me and the other small presses that I'm friendly with, we all pay taxes. You know, why the fuck aren't they? Cities are like bending over backwards and to fuck themselves to offer Amazon all of these incentives to like build their second headquarters in their city and stuff like that. And it's just so backwards and fucked up, you know? But anyway, I'm not grousing about paying taxes. I'm grousing about a multi-billion dollar company not paying them.
Yeah, that's the thing to think. We pay our part.
Yeah, I don't mind paying my part. But a company like that would add a lot of money into the system, and that, you know, could get some shit done. I mean, it's not like we don't have a massive structural infrastructure issue in this country, you know, that would maybe use a shitload of money among the million other things. Another political thing. Sorry. Congress basically refused to give Betsy DeVos, the education secretary, anything that she and Trump asked for. Like, they were asking to have all of these cuts made to the Department of Education. Like, we're going to cut this program down. We're going to cut that program down because we want to give all this money to basically private schools and private Christian schools that Betsy DeVos has her hands in and stuff like that. Congress actually was like, no, we're not giving you any of that. And in fact, we're adding money to some of these programs. So there.
It was basically like gut education for sake of basically her own profit and or self-interest profit.
Yeah.
Arts and food programs that were up for slashing.
Yeah. And it's, again, like the food programs disproportionately go to poor rural areas.
Yeah. Which, people that voted for Trump.
Yeah. So it's primarily. Like, oh, why can't my kid have food and at school? Because I can't afford it. And also, why do we have this big ass new stadium, but my kid can't eat food and our books look like they're falling apart?
Mm-hmm. And teachers have to buy their own fucking school supplies.
Exactly. But yeah, you've answered that email. Fuzz Fur Planet is going, well, you're not going to be at BLFC.
No. Tyrion is attending BLFC because he wants to attend BLFC, but we are not going as dealers.
Yeah, but you'll be at Anthrocon and MFF, hopefully.
Yeah.
All right, so next one.
The plan.
A question for you, Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, former casters of the Knot. I have a question for Shiva. I remember you at one point mentioned you don't like first sitters you don't know personally hugging you. Why was that? Also, have your feelings on this changed since that time?
Somewhat. I mean, back in the day, I was like also fairly shy in general. I think also being surrounded them at TFF lessened that. I've also gotten to know a bunch more fursuiters, but it's kind of also just like stranger walking up that I don't know and hugging me.
Right. In or out of suit. That's
in or out of suit,
like,
but
not on.
But also suit. I mean, you just can't see the face or anything else like that. Mm. And if it's somebody I know later on, it's like, oh, okay. But it's kind of like just having a stranger walk up and hug you, but you can't see their face. It just magnifies the stranger danger, who the hell are you, aspect of it beyond the normal just, hey, this isn't a person that I know suddenly giving me a hug.
So when we got this email, I actually wondered if they had mixed you and me up.
No.
Because I didn't know that you'd felt like that.
Yeah, no, prior, yeah, I'd say it on the show. But no, it's just somebody I don't know hugging on me is weird and kind of creepy. Someone I don't know hugging me that I don't know their face and I can't, like, recognize them. It just adds a degree more of, you know, who the fuck is this and why are they touching me? It expands that.
And I basically have always felt the same and still feel the same.
It's not just fursuiters. It's anybody in costume where you can't see their face. But in the fandom, you're more likely to get a hug from a weird, but strange person than you are, like, walking around and get a hug from a stormtrooper, you know?
Right, yeah.
The risk is much greater with fursuiters.
And, you know, if a stormtrooper tried to hug you, they'd probably miss anyway, so it's less of an issue.
And now it's different if you're, like, posing for a picture or something else like that. I've had people come up to me at cons where I later found out it was, oh, XYZ in their new fursuit, and that's different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I know who they are post, but it's just uncomfortable because I just can't see their face. That's it.
Yeah, that makes sense. With me and the fursuit, like, dislike in general is very much to do with not being able to see the person's face. Even at Disney World, I, like, try to avoid the costumed characters.
I'll pose with them in, like, a photo, you know, like...
Yeah, I've done that, but I don't really like the antics.
Yeah, I could see that. But, like, if Cinderella came up, okay, she looks like Cinderella, but I could still kind of see her face.
And you know who Cinderella is.
Well, and they're a performer that is playing a part, and they don't just hug you without consent, if anything. So it's like, that's the thing. Consent is key. Don't randomly hug people because that's not very nice. It's much better to, like, yo, can I hug you? Or ask, or, you know, pantomime hugging somebody if you're in a fursuit.
That's the other thing is that fursuits, for the most part, when I receive hugs from them, tend to be very warm and kind of moist.
And it's one thing
if it's somebody I know, you know, Kyle is the one I'm most likely to get a hug from in fursuit. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, okay, it's somebody I know, and yeah, they're kind of warm and kind of moist, but at least I know, you know, it's Kyle. You know, it's slightly different. I'll put it up with it for somebody that I know versus random stranger.
We should say not Kyle Gold, local.
Yeah, local. Kyle. Yeah, there's a local friend named Kyle that I've known. Hell, I knew him when he was a teenager at Akon back in the day. I've known him for 20 years. And that's different than just random person.
So the next one we have is a... comment from an Anon. Not a question, but I just wanted to say you guys are usually the highlight of my week, keeping me in touch with all the furry subculture and stuff that I normally don't have time to invest in myself. So thanks a lot. Keep it up, guys and gal.
Thank you.
You want me to read the con report here?
Sure.
Because if I'm right, we haven't read these, right? Because
no, we didn't.
We read them on the episode that was lost to bad sound.
Yeah, because we hadn't gotten the A&E Con review came in last week.
Okay.
And we didn't get to
record last week.
Okay. And then it was lost.
So A&E, that's Anthro New England for you casuals. A&E Con Report. Hey, Shiva, Ears, and Fuzz. Moonscorch here. I was listening to the latest episode and I realized I totally forgot to send in a con review. This A&E was at the Boston Park Plaza, a block away the nearest train station with a ton of food options around. The old venue looked cooler, though. This new one looked too high class for a bunch of furries. Now, I've had cons like that where I've, like, walked into the new hotel and be like, oh, man.
I kind of was like that at the Hyatt this year downtown. Yeah. It's like, because it's kind of swanky.
Yeah. Now, this place is really not nice for the likes of me. Friday, some friends and I blazed through the Fuzzy Logic Escape Room, which we also had at TFF this year, which is cool. I attended a needle felting panel and everyone made cute baby seals. Aww. Then at the gender identity and the fandom panel, I talked about how the convention is so important to me. 2 years ago, I realized I'm trans and was crying from happiness in the zoo because it finally made sense. The next year, I finally decided to start HRT. This year, I've been on it for almost a whole year. Yay, congratulations. On Saturday, I went to a jewelry class outside the convention, but when I came back, I went to the dance competition and saw some adorable dances and some really incredible ones, too. And the dance that night was pretty fun. One of my date mates, who isn't in the fandom, showed up with their partner and they had a fun time. Although the security was buzzing around, unsure of how to handle animal people having fun. Sunday was a nice day to unwind, hang out with friends, and buy a bunch of cute pins from Spoggles. The closing ceremonies proved the convention was continuing its exponential growth with 2,050 attendees, almost 700 more than last year. And we raised $25,000 for Mass Vesta Dog, which provides bulletproof vests and other supplies to police dogs. Gotta keep those puppers safe. Overall, it was an amazing experience, and being in such an accepting and loving environment surrounded by so many other queer animal people is something I never want to end. From your friendly neighborhood witch rat, Moonscorch.
Yay.
Thank you very much for the con report.
That's awesome.
That one sounds like it was fun.
And I've got the next one pulled up on my phone if you want to read it, Shiva.
This is from titled Regretrospective. It sounds like it's from the person that sent us the Coke Zero. Yeah, I didn't expect postage to be that bad, but I gave it my word I'd send it, and what else could I do? Well, it looks, if you folks can't taste any significant difference, then I guess it must be just be me. Personally, I like Diet Pepsi better anyways. Well, no, I'm actually a Dr. Pepper fan. And speaking of brown fizzy water, since you lived through both Republicans, is Trump worse than W? Regards, D. P.S. Dude, Otter. If I make sense, it's lucky. It's a lucky coincidence. Yeah, actually, I think Trump is worse than W. I mean, W had his issues, but Trump is just a complete shit show on a personal level, as well as, you know, just his administration and his administration choices in general.
I mean,
yeah,
Bush had a lot of scandals, but none of them were quite as prominent or nakedly corrupt as this dude's. And like, people, there have been some very misguided people trying to rehabilitate W's
legacy. Yeah,
but you know, he still got 1.5 million people killed in Iraq, so fuck him for eternity.
You know, let's not forget that W was a shitty president, but in
comparing the two,
comparing
though,
them and saying W, I was like, while he was not the best spoken president,
he still had more decorum,
frequently made an ass of himself, he was actually a politician, which I don't give a fuck.
Governor in Texas,
I don't give a fuck what Trump says. You want a politician in that job, you want a diplomat, you know, you want someone that can handle their shit in the most important job in the world. And as Savard said, W at least had executive experience that qualified him for the job. He was the governor of Texas. We elect a lot of governors to be president. Most of our presidents are either governors, senators, or generals, more so in the past. And you know, Barack Obama was a senator. But, you know, Trump never held political office before in his life. And one of my main problems with Trump is that he doesn't stand for anything. And he is the ultimate flip-flopper.
He stands for his own pockets and his own, you know.
Yeah. He says whatever he thinks he needs to say to get applause and approval at the moment.
And I still can't wonder that this whole trade war with China isn't to take the heat off the whole Russia investigation. I'm pretty sure it is.
It could be. And the thing is, because Trump doesn't stand for anything, some of the advisors around him, who are really shitty, dangerous people, are basically free to move his administration in whatever direction they want. And now, you know, Savern mentioned earlier that, you know, John Bolton is coming back into the scene. John Bolton was the ambassador to the United Nations under George W. Bush. And this guy's been described as pro-war.
He was basically telling the world, fuck you, when it came to starting Iraq.
Yeah, this is not a guy we want anywhere near the capacity to influence a decision at our executive level. And, you know, he's going to have that again.
The Trump administration seems to be a lot of people with not only their own personal agendas, they're not very subtle about these agendas either. Mm-hmm. You can pretty much just watch them line up to line their pocket and do their own personal, like everybody's got their self-interest. Every person out there who's a politician not only has the common good in mind, but they also have their own personal agenda. However, these people seem to be more hell-bent on their own personal agendas and their own personal profits over, like, even their constituency or the general good in general of the U.S. They're blatant money grabs, power grabs, getting their niche, whatever their singular, like, whether it's Christian right, whether it's, you know, conservative. They're so fucking blatant about it. There's almost no shame.
And the other thing that really frightens me about all this is that I'll be very surprised if Trump makes it through the entirety of his first term. Let's not even think about 2020 for a second. But if he doesn't resign or is impeached and just thrown out of office,
then we got fucking Pence behind it.
Then, well, that's what I was just about to say. Then Pence becomes president, and that is fucking terrifying.
Very much so, especially if you're LGBT.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's far right Christian. The staffer or advisor, Omarosa, that just left the administration. There's a clip of her saying, "I'm a Christian, but Pence believes Jesus is actually talking to him." And I'm like, Jesus didn't say that. It's quite an amusing clip. You should look it up. But yeah, he is apparently literally believes that Jesus is telling him to do shit. And I'm like, okay, I think religion's silly. Everyone who listens to this knows that I think that. But like, if you're a Christian, you have your beliefs and it doesn't fuck with me in any way, then fine, whatever. Believe what you want. But when you have a man that's second in line, next in line to be president, if something happens to Trump, who literally believes that Jesus is talking to him, that's fucking frightening. That's really, really scary.
Not only speaking to him, but saying things to him that are basically like going to directly impact me and people I love.
Yeah.
And then get behind the whole religious right to go behind this, you know. Yeah, no.
So, yeah, in conclusion, I think Trump is a worse president than W was. And I think his administration is going to be far more destructive. And, you know, he's really damaged the country's reputation in the world. We've talked about this before on the show that basically, you know, like Angela Merkel is kind of the new standard bearer in world politics. Britain has ceded their place in world leadership by being complete fucking idiots with this Brexit situation. You know, we have this total imbecile for president. So it's people like Merkel and Trudeau and I think is it Macron in France that's the PM? They're the ones that are going to be sort of steering things on a worldwide level. And, you know, people used to look, the rest of the world used to look to America for leadership, at least in some regard, or think that, you know, we're a bunch of assholes. And Trump really epitomizes every negative stereotype about an American. And now he's president, and that makes the whole country look like shit, in my opinion, of course. But over to you, Saverin, if you have anything to add?
No, I think we've hit it up pretty well.
Thank you for the question.
So we should probably wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure.
Also coming out this week is the Fox and Wolf Movie Time for... Shit, what was the last movie we did?
Oh, we've done Hackers, Dogs.
It was
Soldiers.
Hackers, yeah.
Wait, oh, Hackers hasn't dropped yet?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So I'll be dropping that this week in addition to this episode. But the Fox and Wolf Movie Time is our Patreon-exclusive podcast that Fuzz and I do. He exposes me to a movie that he remembers watching and that I've never seen. And then we discuss it after the fact. And we have so far done Dog Soldiers, Animal Olympics.
Ice Pirates.
Oh, you did Ice Pirates?
Yep.
Oh, good. You've seen it.
Oh, yes.
Saverin had not seen it.
So, Nick Cliff knows. What did you think?
It was so bad.
See, and that, like on the, you were a little bit more nuanced in your original discussion. You were like, well, that sure was a movie.
Well, I mean, it had its qualities, but if you want to hear my detailed thoughts of that, about 18, 20 minutes worth, you can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/southpawscast, and give us a buck.
No, I was just amused that, oh my God, yeah, it is bad. I mean, like, it's good,
it has
bad.
A space herpy in it.
It's good. In a very bad way. It's so bad.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Saverin Drake. You can find me on Twitch 5 nights a week from 10 p.m. Central to about 2 a.m., depending on how engrossed in the game I am. twitch.tv/Saverin. I also announce streams on my Tumblr and my Twitter account. Come by. If you have Amazon Prime, you have a Twitch Prime membership. And if you're not using it, you can always use your free subscription to toss like $2.50 my way and get access to a global emote of my dog.
I'm doing it. Be cool like Fuzzwolf.
Yeah, you and Rahata and Ajax. And
I think Siam is using ours on somebody else. I'm sorry.
That's fine. But it's just like, hey, if you're not using it, you might as well do it my way. I also got my icons approved for the $10 and $25 levels, which means I'll be the only person ever using them until I get big.
Right.
And they're both icons from badges that Helicity did for me. My 80s, it's the sunglasses smiling, and then the other one's just my big happy Fennec face. I mean, they're cute. Teeny tiny little icons, but they got approved really fast.
Nice.
So that's cool. So I have Saverin icons on Twitch. It's cool.
Yay.
It's Saverin ears and Saverin cool, and then Saverin Adam.
So you can find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. You can find the print side of my business at ForPlanet, forplanet.com, and you can find the ebook side of my business at Bad Dog Books or baddogbooks.com. Something I realized I should mention on the show is that March is the 10th anniversary month of Tieran and I owning ForPlanet. So in celebration of that, we've been doing an all-month-long 10% off sale. Use the coupon code 10YEARS, 10YEARS, at checkout to save 10% off of your order.
Cool.
So I'm doing that, and yep, that's that. Over to you, Shiva.
You can find me on Twitter as Chimera, Khymaera. You can also find me on Telegram underneath that same one. That's pretty much the only place you'll find me active lately.
You know, withdrawing a little bit from social media might actually be a good thing, because like I feel like I'm losing way too many hours of productivity.
Hey, it's like I said, like I've been getting off of Twitter and replacing it with playing video games for people on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps me from steeping in the brain poison any longer than I need to.
Yeah.
And Saverin, you should be proud of me. Like you, I have finally let my WoW account lapse for the first time in 6 years. I know.
Wow. Oh, no.
Yeah, ever since shortly after me and Sarah got back together, we started playing WoW together, and I haven't taken a hiatus since. And I've been kind of twitchy, like, maybe I should no, I really need to take a break from WoW. So
subscribe to 3 people on Twitch or something.
Yeah.
Distribute that $15 on Patreon.
Actually, speaking of Patreon, I found a really cool one. I watch a fuck ton of cooking shows on YouTube. I watch all kinds of stuff from like street food around, you know, all over the world. And one thing I stumbled across, there's a particular one called Grandpa Kitchen. It's not Grandpa's, it's Grandpa Kitchen. And it is this dude out in a small village in India, and he prepares massive meals. I mean, these are like a couple 5-gallon buckets of chicken worth of curries and other stuff like this. And then he goes, and after he prepares these wild meals, he then goes and distributes it out to orphans in the local area.
Aww.
So you see him feeding these poor, rather destitute looking kids this meal he just cooked. And he's got, you know, a YouTube channel, pretty high quality videos where he does all this. But he's also got a Patreon. And of course, I added him to my Patreon. He's only got one level, which is $1 a month. But all of that goes back to buying supplies to help feed these kids, give them clothes, school supplies, and all this other stuff. And it's a really cool YouTube. And then it then goes and feeds these whole bunch of orphan kids.
Wow.
It's really neat.
That's great. Speaking of things for charity, I'm just going to throw this out here. Go to betterbundobook.com. We forgot to mention this. So the vice president's 24-year-old daughter put out a book about their rabbit, Marlon Bundo. And like it's like a day in the life of the vice president from the bunny's point of view. But one of the places that Pence is stopping to promote it at is focused on the family, which is a rabidly anti-gay organization.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mr. John Oliver on Last Week Tonight was having none of that. So they got together and they made their own book about this bunny. In which the bunny is gay and meets another boy bunny and wants to get married to him and hop with him forever. But the evil stink bug says, no, only boy bunnies can only marry girl bunnies. And it's a story of what happens and how do the little forest creatures handle this. So you can buy it on Amazon in hard copy. It's actually a hardcover children's book. And it's not like Go the Fuck to Sleep or any like faux children's book that's made for the amusement of adults. It's actually like a legit children's book about a gay romance. So it is, you know, it is totally something that you could buy and give to a child that you know in your life. And all the profits from the book go to two charities. They go to an AIDS charity, which I forget the exact name of. Saverin, I'm again tasking you with looking it up and putting it in the show notes. The other charity I remember because I'm more familiar with it because I've donated to them in the past, and that's the Trevor Project, which is a suicide prevention hotline specifically focused on LGBT youth. Which I feel is a very important and worthy charity.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go to betterbundobook.com or another URL that they have that redirects there is focusonthefirmly.com. And you can click the icon of which of those two charities that you want to support. If you donate a minimum of $11.99 to the charity gets all the money and you get a free ebook copy of the children's book.
That's cute.
So I'm sure a lot of you already know that because it's been exploding all over the internet. But just in case you didn't, now you know. So
and
that's something I support.
Furries doing porn of the characters.
Why am I not surprised?
Because you should never be surprised when it comes to furries.
You know, if you draw porn of those characters, and if you have enjoyed porn of those characters, then go ahead and make a donation to one of those two charities for the hell of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just help them out. They're both very good causes. Very pro-LGBT causes, and I think that speaks to a lot of our audience and a lot of furries.
Mm-hmm.
So, on that note, good night and big bunnies.